Well, good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Welcome. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you that once again we can gather in your name. We thank you for meeting us here. And Lord, hearing that Colleen is with you now, our hearts are filled with joy that she is out of that body that could not function anymore. And glorified body, the upgrade, which we also look forward to. But bless her family, Lord, and be with them at this time and just draw them close to you. And we thank you for your grace and your mercy and guide us now as we go forward this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll be in Numbers 14, and we will have a very familiar situation where once again the people are murmuring and complaining. We have just an awesome aspect of the Lord today, and so I thought we would begin by singing one we've sung recently, At Your Name, Yahweh, Yahweh. But we have kind of a repeat from chapter 34 in Exodus, where Moses asked the Lord, "What is your name?" And we read then in verse 6 of chapter 34, "And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, Yahweh, the Yahweh Elohim, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin." So that basically is what the Lord says his name is. And so I thought we would sing At Your Name, because we have almost this exact verse quoted again today in the Numbers area where we are in going to be looking at that prayer of Moses in chapter 14. But let us begin by just joining in and singing or listening, however you would prefer, to At Your Name.
Lord of all.
Amen to that, huh? Well, in chapter 11, we had the children of Israel complaining and murmuring because they had no meat. In chapter 12, we had the jealousy. We looked at that last week, the jealousy of Aaron and Moses. And we had the anger of the Lord aroused against them. And then in chapter 13, we have the 12 spies sent out from the Kadesh area into Israel to scout out the land for 40 days. And you know the story. They came back and 10 gave a bad report. 2, Joshua and Caleb gave a good report. But the people freaked out when they heard about the giants in the land. And so in verse 1 of 14, all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if we had only died in this wilderness. Now, it's so amazing that they're so afraid of death, and yet they're wishing they would have died in Egypt or in the wilderness. And now we see then Joshua and Caleb give it one more shot, and they say, look, if God delights in us, if the Lord delights in us, verse 8, he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And so the congregation reacted. How? They said, let's stone them. Then the Lord says to Moses in verse 11, how long will these people reject me? Question number one. Question number two, how long will they not believe me? Distrust of the Lord and unbelief, those are the two issues before us today. And how easy it is to fall into distrust of the Lord when we get afraid, how easy it is for us to fall into unbelief when we don't see things going the way we think they should go. And we see that the Lord doesn't like it. He says, how long, with all the signs which I have performed among them, I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them. I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they. So this is the second time that God has been so angry he was going to wipe them out. The first time, you remember, was back in Exodus 32 at the golden calf, and he mentioned the same thing to Moses. And at that time, Moses stepped forward spiritually and said, not me or my family. Save Israel. So you don't have a bad reputation that you're not able to bring them out and in, out of Egypt, which you have done, and into the land which you promised. So here again, God says, I'm going to wipe them out, and I'll make of you a nation mightier than they. And now Moses again reaffirms his, that he has not changed. He says, then the Egyptians will hear it, for by your might you brought these people up from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of the land. And verse 16, if you kill these people, or 15, as one man, then the nations which have heard of your fame will now say, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land, he swore to them, therefore he killed them in the wilderness. Lord, for your glory, I don't want to see this happen. These are the people you've promised, and I don't want to see them wiped out. And now he intercedes, he prays. Verse 17, and now I pray, let the power of my Lord be great. Do you ever pray that? Let the power of my Lord be great. When you look in your life, most of the time I think we feel powerless, which we are, and apart from the Lord, we're totally powerless, but that's not where we should be, because we're his. We're a new creation, right? And so because of his power, and now I pray, let the power of my Lord be great. Just as you have spoken, saying, now he's going to repeat this verse we just read pretty much word for word back in Exodus 34, 6, 7. verse 18 in today's study, the Lord, Yahweh, is long-suffering and abundant in mercy. Is that who you worship? The Lord who is long-suffering and abundant in mercy? Do you really believe that? Does your life reflect that? Does your heart reflect that? Comma, forgiving iniquity and transgression. How happy are you with that? You know, before Jesus came, there was no way to have our sins wiped out. There was no way to have them forgiven. We could have them covered. We could have them atoned for by blood of bulls and goats, but it couldn't be taken away. Only through Jesus Christ have our sins been forgiven and taken away. Awesome. It's just so awesome when we think about that. So he's forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he by no means clears the guilty. He will hold the guilty responsible. There is a hell, and those who reject him will go there. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers, third and fourth generation. Now here's his prayer. Pardon the iniquity of this people, I pray. Pardon the iniquity of this people, I pray. Look at what he's praying for. Now, you know, over and over again, the people are coming against Moses and Aaron. They want to kill him. They want to stone him. They want to disobey. And I mean, it just, you know, if any of you have rebellious children, they probably never were as rebellious as the situation with Moses that he's facing. But still, he's praying for them. Forgive them. Forgive them, Father. Pardon the iniquity of this people, I pray. According to the greatness of your mercy. So they don't deserve anything, just like you and I don't deserve anything, but he's going to asking God to forgive them according to the greatness of the Lord's mercy. Just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt until now. You've not wiped them out in the past, although you wanted to. You had plenty of reason to. They complain all the time. But he says, as you have forgiven this people from Egypt until now. So that's basically the prayer. Now we see the Lord responding immediately. Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. So what does that mean? Does that mean that our prayers can change God's mind? No. No, I don't think so. I think who puts it in our heart to pray anyway? I think God would have wiped them out, but I think he's looking for an excuse not to. He says in Ezekiel, I would have not destroyed them had I found somebody to stand in the gap for them, but there was none, right? So Moses is praying for mercy, and the Lord says, I have pardoned according to your word, but truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. The Lord's going to be glorified in this. Because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt in the wilderness have put me to the test these 10 times and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. So there are consequences to their iniquity here. They will be destined to a 40-year funeral march, all 20-year-old and above. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. So if you're following the Lord, committed to him, he will bring you all the way, right? Just as we can rest assured today that Colleen is with the Lord and others who have gone on before and will go on after. Has followed me fully, I will bring him to the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Oh, what an inheritance we have promised to us as children of his kingdom. Verse 25, now we'll see there's no longer a purpose to their trip to the promised land, because what it says, now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valley, tomorrow turn and move out into the wilderness. That's their new destination, the wilderness. Any of you in a wilderness? I hope not. But there are those without the Lord who are in a wilderness, and they're destined in that wilderness till they turn to the Lord, right? So here they're to turn and move out into the wilderness. And now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation? The carcasses of those who have complained against me shall fall in the wilderness, all of you who were numbered according to your entire number from 20-year-old and above, except for Caleb and Joshua, And but your little ones who you were so concerned about, I will bring them in. Now notice why it's going to be 40 years. You already know this, but I'll repeat it because we went through this before. Verse 33. And your sons shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years and bear the brunt of your infidelity until your carcasses are consumed in the wilderness according to the number of days in which you spied out the land. 40 days for each day you shall bear guilt 1 year, namely 40 years. And you shall know my rejection. I, the Lord, have spoken this. I will surely do so to all this evil congregation who are gathered together against me. And now he says, we see right away what happens to the 10 men with the bad report. Those very men who brought the evil report about the land died by the plague before the Lord. So apparently those 10 men right at that point now are killed. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, remained alive of the men who went to spy out the land. They'll be the only two of this age group, 20 and above, who will go into the promised land. Father, we see the importance of intercession, and here we are in a group to intercede, and we see how you put it in our hearts to pray, and if we pray in accordance with your will, the confidence we have that we know that you will hear our prayer and you will answer it. And so, Lord, we have this great opportunity to pray. We want to pray for those who are in unbelief. We want to pray for those who are mistrusting you, Lord, or distrusting you. Lord, so much to pray for. So help us to pray for the lost, and help us to pray for those who are proclaiming the gospel. Help us to pray for all ministers, which would include every single believer on the face of the earth. Everyone in this room is a minister, Lord. You have given us that assignment, really, that we would be ministers of the new covenant. And so, Lord, we were here to receive from you this morning, but we're also here to pray as you would direct us by your Spirit. So lead us now to pray as you will. In Jesus' name, amen.